Tonight, I want to invite you to take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 34. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 34. And I'm sure that many of you, like myself, are disappointed that our pastor is not able to preach for us this evening. But I trust that we will continue to pray that the Lord will strengthen his voice and we'll soon get him back on the pathway of health and able to stand and preach to us. Since you just were seated, I'll not ask you to stand again, but I would like you to read with me our scripture text for this evening, 2 Chronicles chapter number 34, and we're just going to read the opening verse of this chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter number 34 and verse number 1. We'll read it aloud together as our scripture text this evening. If you will join me in reading this, ready, begin. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, how grateful we are for a place where in the middle of a busy week we can turn aside, we can find a place of refuge, a place of encouragement. Our hearts can be stirred as we sing of who you are and what you have done for us. Now, Lord, as we turn to your word, we know that it alone is the source of strength and encouragement. And I pray that tonight you would speak to our hearts. I pray that every one of us may go away from this place helped. May we go away challenged to be more like you would have us to be than we were when we came. Most of all, may you get honor and glory unto yourself. And we'll thank you for what you do, for we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I just have to confess, I love the Word of God. It is such a wonderful, wonderful book. It's the only place you can turn and find the answer for everything. Doesn't matter what situation you're in. It doesn't matter what circumstance you may be facing. It does not matter your stature in life or your age. No matter where you're at, the answer is God's Word. That's where the solution is at. It is the most profound piece of literature that has ever been penned by human hand. And yet it is so simple that anyone who's born again and has the Spirit of God living on the inside can open it up and find truths just dripping off of every page to meet the need of your life. And in our text for this hour, we read of a young boy. In fact, the Bible tells us he's only 8 years old when we're introduced to him. He's just a child. We would probably pass him by without really paying too much attention. We may stop, we may pat him on the head, we may even get down on our knee and chat with him for a moment. Maybe in passing we'd do a fist bump, but he's just a child. He's only 8 years old. And really, in the eyes of most people, he would be a young man of not much significance. But all I want to tell you, as you read his story, it comes alive. And as you look at what the Bible has to say, there are so many principles that are found in his life that I think we could take and apply to our lives this evening. And that's what I want to do. I want to look at him. By the way, Josiah does not come from a great background. If you read the story of the previous chapter, you'll find that his grandfather was a man by the name of Manasseh. Now, Manasseh was a very, very wicked man. In fact, he was probably the most wicked king that the people of Judah had ever known in their entire existence. He was a man that the Bible tells us he practiced witchcraft. He worshiped idols. He even took his own children and burned them as sacrificial offerings to the idols. Perhaps Josiah had been just a little boy when he heard the screams of a brother or a sister as they were given to an idol to be burned. By the way, Josiah's life didn't get much better. Yes, Manasseh became a believer later in life, but soon his life was over, and Josiah really didn't know him much as a believer, and Josiah's father became king. His name was Ammon, and Ammon was so bad. I mean, you think Manasseh was bad? Ammon was so bad that his own servants rose up against him and killed him after he had only reigned for 2 years. And so now Josiah is an 8-year-old boy. His father has been brutally murdered. He comes from a seemingly hopeless pedigree, and he comes to the throne to be king. Here's a great question. Josiah has never been a king before. In fact, Josiah really, he doesn't know what a king is supposed to do. This is a completely new experience for him. I can just imagine the turmoil in his heart, can't you? I mean, on the outside, he's putting on a good front like we all know how to do. He appears to be calm. He appears to be a very stately young man. I can see him trying to stand up straight as they place the crown upon his head. But on the inside, don't you imagine that his heart was just pounding, thinking, what am I going to do? Who do I turn to? My grandfather, who knew about being a king, even though he wasn't a great one, he's dead. My dad, who knew a little bit about being a king, at least he had the office for a couple of years, he's dead. Where do I turn? Who do I look to? Josiah, tragically, he didn't even have the rule book for kings, because we find later on the story that the word of God had been lost. I mean, this boy is in a bad predicament. This boy is in a bad state. He has no one to guide him. He doesn't possess the word of God. What's he going to do? How can he lead the nation in the right way? Well, let's read and see what happens. Notice, first of all, I discover in reading this story that there was a decision that was powerful. Look in verse number 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. In this verse, we read of a decision that was made by this young boy who had become king. By the way, it was his initial decision. This is the very first thing he determined. I've been stuck in this place. I've been brought into this condition. Somehow God in his sovereignty has placed me here. And this is going to be the very first decision I make as king of Judah. It was not only his initial decision, but it was an intentional decision. I believe it was not something that he stumbled into. I don't believe it just happened by chance. I believe Josiah very carefully thought and considered the matter and came to a conclusion, and he said, "This is what I'm going to do." Can I say this? It was an important decision. In fact, the fate of his success or failure as a king depended on the decision that he made in verse number 2. And by the way, it was an implemented decision. It wasn't just something he said he was going to do. It was something that he actually put into practice. Now, I know you're curious. What is this decision? What is this great decision that you're talking about? Notice verse number 2. The Bible says, and walked in the ways of David, his father. Here's what Josiah said. He said, I've never been a king. I don't have a rule book. I don't know what the rules and regulations are to being a king. In fact, I don't even know what the best way to go about this king business is. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find the greatest example, the best picture in history that I can find, and I'm just going to do what he did. Can I say that's a great principle for us to follow? Some of you young people, you're just starting out in your Christian life. Many people have been saved in the last few weeks, and maybe you're just beginning your Christian journey. Maybe you haven't been saved a long time, maybe a month, 2 months, a year, 2 or 3 years. And you say, man, I'm just not even sure what this Christian business is all about. I don't know how to go about it. I don't know how to implement everything. I tell you, the greatest decision you can make is to find the best Christian you can know and say, until I learn something else, I'm just going to do what they do. I'm just going to follow in their footsteps. It may be your pastor. And man, what a great example we have. And you say, I just don't know how I should dress. I just look at him and dress like he does. You say, I don't know what entertainment I should use. I just watch him and see what he feels is okay, and then that's what I'd use. You say, I just don't know where it's okay for me to go. I just patterned my life after his. By the way, he's been pretty successful, don't you think, as a Christian? And can I tell you this? It may be your parents. It may be a Sunday school teacher. It may be the person that led you to the Lord. But if you don't know what to do, just find a Christian that you can depend on, that you can rely on, and follow them until you learn something else. Josiah said, I've never been a king. By the way, is that not what Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 10 says? That God has made us unto him a kingdom of kings and priests? By the way, you're starting on this journey. You've never done it before. So how do I go about it? Find the best example that you can find and hitch your wagon to their train and just follow them in everything they do. You may not understand why they do it. You may not understand why they dress the way they dress, but I just follow what they're doing. I figure they know more than I do, so I'm not going to debate it. I'm not going to argue it. I'm not going to question it. I'm just going to do it until God teaches me something that I need to know for myself. You see, that's not the end of the story, though. That's just the beginning part. You see, there's a decision that was powerful. He walked in the ways of David. And by the way, he just did it. Whatever David did, he said, I'm going to implement it. He declined not to the left or to the right. He didn't go one side or he didn't go to the other side. He just said, I'm following the path that David has laid out. He's the best king I know. I'm going to follow him until I learn something else. Now look at verse number 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, by the way, how old is he now? He's 16 years old. You realize that for 8 years he's just been doing what David did? He didn't know anything else. He just said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep following. And notice in the 8th year, notice what happens. The Bible says in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. You see, you have to come to the point in your life when you realize you need more than David. You need David's God. And man, it's great to follow a Christian. It's great to follow a spiritual hero. And it's great to pattern your life after them. And by the way, that's a good place to start. And that's a good way to get on the right track. And that's a good way to learn things. But can I tell you, it's not enough just simply to follow someone else. You need to find and learn about their God and make him your God. Can I say, college students, it's great for you to be here, and it's a wonderful example, and you can follow President Giovanelli's life, but there comes a point in time when you need to learn about his God and make him your God. It's great, North Valley Baptist Church, that we have a pastor we can follow, and we ought to do that as much as we can, but there comes a point in time when it has to be more than just Pastor Treber. We have to know Pastor Treber's God and make him our God. He begins to seek after the God of David, his father. There's a pursuit that was expressed. He said, I want the God of David. And by the way, it involves something. Notice what happens. And in the 12th year, so now he's already spent another 4 years looking for God. Can I tell you, don't get anxious when you don't become a mature spiritual giant in the first 3 months of your spiritual journey. Can I just confess something tonight? I'm still learning. I haven't arrived yet. There's a lot of things I read and I scratch my head and I say, man, I'm just not sure about that. I don't know how that works. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And when I get to that situation, I just look around to somebody that's been down the road further than I have, and I say, well, that's how they handle it. That's what I'm going to do until I learn something better. But by the way, that's not all I have. I do have some areas where now I have found their God, and he's become my God, and he's instructed me in some things. We're all on this journey together. Now notice this, there was a pursuit that was expressed. He wanted the God of David, not just the ways of David. He wanted to know David's God. But notice there was a purifying that was evidenced. The Bible says he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves, the carved images, the molten images, break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high above them. He cut down the groves, the carved images, the molten images. He broke in pieces and made dust of them, strode them upon the graves of them and sacrificed unto them. He burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars. He cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. So did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali with their mattocks round about. When he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Can I say this? If you're going to follow a spiritual hero and begin your pursuit of knowing God personally, very first thing that's going to happen is God's going to begin to point out some things in your life and in my life that have to be purged out. Because here's what God wants to know. Are you really sincere in getting to know me? Do you really want to know who I am? I mean, you say you want the God of David, but if you really want me, let's see how sincere you are. I'm going to point out something in your life, and let's see if you're willing to get rid of it or if you want to hold on to it. Can I say right there is where most of us get hung up in our spiritual journey? Because we're following our spiritual hero and we watch our spiritual hero, and all of a sudden we discover that our spiritual hero throws aside something that's valuable to us. He disagrees or she disagrees with something that we think is important and something that's of significance in our life, and he or she, our spiritual giant, our spiritual David, disapproves of it. And all of a sudden we say, well, I'm not following David anymore. Can I say this? If you don't follow David, you're not going to find David's God. See, here's what we're doing. We're willing to go so far and we say the right thing, but we don't want to go through the process that it requires in order for us to arrive at the place that David is. And so notice there's a lot of negativity. I mean, the Bible says that he began to purge Judah. Verse number 4, he break down the altars. He cut down the groves and the carved images. He break in pieces. He burnt the bones. When he had broken down the altars and the groves and beaten the graven images into powder. And notice this, and cut down, what's that next word? All the idols throughout all the land. You're going to have to make a complete sweep of it. And here's what happens. We come to the house of God and we're following our spiritual hero. We've made a few steps of progress in our spiritual journey. And all of a sudden, somebody stands up and opens up the Word of God and says, thus saith the Lord. And immediately we realize that our spiritual hero is chopping down one of our idols. He wants us to break in pieces one of these images. He wants us to burn on the altar some bones of some things that's been hanging around us. And all of a sudden we draw back because we're not willing to get rid of all the idols throughout all the land of our habitation. We're not really willing to make a complete eradication of everything that opposes the God of David in our domain. By the way, he didn't do it in anybody else's kingdom, but he did it in his. And can I say, I can't eradicate the idols in your kingdom, but I sure can work on the idols in my kingdom. I can try to clean them out as God begins to point them out. As I begin to follow in David's path and I begin to pursue after the God of David, all of a sudden I find in pursuing after the God of David that David leads me down some paths that cause some pain because I lose some things that meant something to me in my life. Some things that I had attached myself to that perhaps at the time I didn't even realize they were idols. But all of a sudden, the light was turned on, and I began to have to purge myself. Notice there was a patience that was exhibited. Look in verse number 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign. So how old is he now? He's 26 years old. You getting the idea that this takes a long time? By the way, I'm sure that if we could ask Pastor tonight, if he had enough voice to answer us, he would assure us that he hasn't arrived at the place of spiritual perfection in his life. And you've been pursuing it a long time, haven't you, Pastor? By the way, there's not any person in this room who has arrived at that location. And so don't get excited, don't get anxious, don't get upset. You just keep working at it, and every time you realize there's another one, you just go out and chop it down. You just break it in pieces. You just keep doing what you know you're supposed to be doing as you know you're supposed to be doing it. And then notice what happened. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Now notice there's a decision that was powerful, which leads to a desire that was purposeful. He began to seek after the God of David. And in turn, as he begins to purge and cut out and tear down and destroy all these things in his pursuit of God, there's a discovery that's priceless. You see, here's what happened. There's an undertaking concerning God's work. He looks around. He's been doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden he says, man, you know, it just dawned on me that down at the house of God, there's some things that need to be done. I mean, it's in disrepair. It's been falling down. Things have not been done right. I want to get down there. I want to invest myself. I want to make an investment in the work of God. What can I do? I'm not a priest. I can't go in. I can't make sacrifices. I can't make offering. But here's what I can do. I can help the priests do what they need to do. And so here's what I'll do as king. I'll support them and I'll finance the work. By the way, there's always something you can do for the work of God. There's always some place you can get involved. And he begins to get involved, and when he decides he wants to do something for the work of God, all of a sudden there comes an uncovering of God's word. Verse number 14, when they brought the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. It's amazing what you'll find when you get involved in the work of God. You know how many times I wonder, do we sit around the house and want God to bring something to us? And God's saying, if you just go down to my house and get involved in my work, I've got discoveries there that you've never imagined, you've never seen. They're just waiting on you, but you've got to get there and get involved before you can uncover them. And he comes to the house of God and he begins to uncover God's word. And you know the story, how that they bring it back and they say, we have found a book. And they begin to, he said in verse number 18, then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. Now what has he been searching for all of these years? He's been looking for the God of David. And guess where he finds him? Amen. Can I say this? If you're looking for your spiritual hero's God, I tell you where you find him. Amen. You got to get in the book. Amen. It's good to follow them, but I'll tell you how they got where they got. They got there because they got in the book. And they found the God who told them how to live, how to conduct their life, how to live and be and mature as a child of God. Then notice what happens. Verse number 19, it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. I thought he was doing pretty good. Didn't you? I mean, I read verse 4 down through verse number 7. He'd been rooting out and tearing down, destroying and throwing down. I mean, he'd been knocking out idols and images left and right. He'd been chopping down groves. He'd been burning bones. He'd been doing all kind of great stuff. I thought by this time Josiah was a spiritual giant. But all of a sudden, when he gets the word of God and begins to read it, he sees himself no longer in comparison to David, but he sees himself in comparison to David's God. Can I say, we're going to have to get to the point where we quit looking at somebody else as our spiritual measuring stick. We're going to have to get on our knees and get this book and say, Lord, what do you see in me? And I want to tell you, every time I say that and I get in this book, I want to rend my clothes, because all of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. We spend our time trying to measure up to everybody else, and we always manage to find somebody who's not quite as good as we are, so we can feel good about ourselves. And we can find brother so-and-so to criticize, and we can find sister so-and-so to criticize. We can find a shortcoming in every person. And by the way, if he had looked at David's life long enough, he could have found a few mess ups in David's life. But I want to tell you, when he got the book, he began to see things like God saw him. Now notice, not only was there this discovery that was priceless, but there was a determination that was personal. What did he do? Look in verse number 31. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after not David his father, but to walk after the Lord, and to keep not David's commandments, but the Lord's commandments. Not David's testimonies, but the Lord's testimonies. Not David's statutes, but the Lord's statutes, with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. You see, there was a personal acceptance. Verse number 30, the Bible says that he gathered everybody in Israel together, and then he read the words to them. Do you realize what's happened in Josiah's life? He's become like the man he was following after. Is that not what David did? David began to read the words of God, and David began to lead the people after God, because David was a man after God's own heart. And now Josiah, because he's just simply sought after God, he's pursued God in every step of the way. Every time he saw something that David did, Josiah said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be like that. I'm going to follow that. He didn't question. He didn't complain. He didn't quarrel. He just said, if that's good enough for David, that's good enough for me. And all of a sudden, now we see Josiah becoming an actual David to the people that were watching him. There was a personal acceptance, and there was a personal allegiance. He made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord. And by the way, that resulted in a dedication that was perpetual. Look at the end of verse number 33. The Bible says, in all his days, they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. I don't know about you, but I think that 8-year-old boy turned out pretty good, didn't he? I think he accomplished something far beyond his dreams. How did he accomplish it? He just said, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this king business. I've never been a king before. But who would be a good king for me to follow? I think David, that's probably the best one we ever had, so I think I'm going to follow him. Whatever David did, that's what I'm going to do until I learn something better. Can I say this? You'll be a long way down your Christian journey if you'll just find some good saint of God to pattern your life after until God teaches you more. Then notice this. There was a demonstration that was perceptible. Look at chapter 35 and verse number 17. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 7 days. Now notice this, verse number 18, chapter 35. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. All of a sudden, this boy that started out just saying, I don't know what to do, I'm just going to follow David. Now he's got ahead of David. Do you realize that? He said there's no Passover like that kept since the days of Samuel. You know Samuel was before David. You do know your Bible chronology, don't you? That means Josiah, in his observance of the Passover, superseded David, his spiritual hero. Can I say, when he started, he never had any dream of superseding David. He just said, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to follow David. And as he followed, as he yielded himself to God, God began to take him further and further and further until he went beyond his wildest dreams. And God is no respecter of persons. God wants to take you young people beyond your wildest dreams. Right now, there's a lot of stuff you don't know. Can I say this? Many of you have godly parents. You ought to say, until I know something better, I'm just going to do what mom and dad said. I'm just going to follow in their path. I'm not sure why they do it, and I don't understand all the reasons behind why we have to dress this way and why I can't wear this and why I have to wear this, and I don't understand what their rules are about education and entertainment and all this stuff, but here's what I'm going to do. I don't know any better. I'm just going to assume that they've been down the road before me. It looks like their life is pretty good. I'm just going to follow them. Some of you may not have a godly parent. You may not have a godly heritage, but I'll tell you one thing. You've got a godly pastor. Here's what you could say. I don't know why I do it this way. I don't have all the answers. I can't give you chapter and verse for everything. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to follow my pastor. Amen. Some of you college students, you got great pastors back home. Some of you may be from a place where you don't have a great pastor. You can say, I'm going to follow Brother Giovanelli. Find you a spiritual hero. And as you follow and yield to what God puts in your life, God will take you that far and beyond for His honor and for His glory. Amen. If you'll yield to Him. This evening, I have two questions for you. And every one of us will be in one of these places, if not both. Question number one, for those who have been saved for some period of time, let me ask you the question, are you a David? If some young Christian looked and said, I'm just going to follow their life, would they be pleasing to God? Could somebody please God by living like you live? If not, that pretty much tells me that you're not pleasing to God. Maybe tonight we just need to come to an altar and say, Lord, I don't know who's watching me. I don't know who's following me. But Lord, let me be like David. Let me lead him in the right path. Let me be the right example. Don't let them find something in my life that would cause them to stumble and stray to the right hand or to the left. But let me lead them in a path that will take him to where I'm at and even beyond where I am for the cause of Christ. Maybe here tonight and you're a young Christian. Maybe you're a young person. Question for you is, are you willing to be a Josiah? Do you have enough humility to say, I don't know everything and I can't explain it, but here's what I'm going to do. I can't do this. I'm a pretty good follower. And I'm just going to find somebody to be my spiritual hero, and I'm just going to follow in their footsteps and let them lead me to their God so I can know their God. So in knowing their God, He can take me beyond anything I ever dreamed. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I wonder tonight, would you be willing to come and kneel at an altar and say, Lord, make me a David? Or maybe, Lord, make me a Josiah. Lord, I don't want to just stay right where I'm at. I want to go beyond. Lord, I want those who are following me to be led to a place that's even greater than where I'm at. May God help us to be David's and Josiah's. Heavenly Father, Lord, the best I know how, I've shared the burden of my heart tonight. Lord, I am certainly glad and thankful for the Davids in my life. Those in the past and even those who yet exist today as I strive to know their God. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be a David for someone else. May I lead them in the path of righteousness. May in following my footsteps, they come to know you in a personal way. And may they go beyond anything I could ever be for your honor and glory. Speak to our hearts and help us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.